Well, we entreat the Lord to meet with us this morning and to feed our souls. I have a little burden on my heart that I'd like to share with us. We wrote on the board full, a great contrast. And I'm thinking this morning about our lives and what we are full of. What we are filled with, what we fill our lives with, what we fill our minds with. And what it can be filled with, and how our life can be filled and can be full of good things. I want to draw a little contrast with words here by starting in Luke the 4th chapter, the 28th verse, and we find here Luke 4 and 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You know who this was speaking of? This was the Lord. And he had just told them, he said, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And then he went on to tell them about Elijah and how that he had been, when the dew and the rain stopped for 3 years and 6 months and there was famines, he said Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel except, he said, to save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And then he talked about the lepers in Israel. And he said none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. This made them so angry. And they were so upset about what the Lord Jesus had told them that they were full of wrath. And they led him out to the hill. They were taking him to throw him over a cliff and kill him. And so this morning, I just want us to think about these kind of things. You know, these people, they filled their heart and their mind with these things. I want to read another place like this. And then we'll talk about some things here in a little bit. Acts 19 and verse 34 is another place where it says, but when they knew that he was a Jew, now this is Paul, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And you know what got into these people for 2 hours in a public setting to be crying out? You know, we've seen there's been people that has made big uproars and you know, you'll see them hollering something or other and being very demonstrative. But these people, for 2 hours, they cried out. And I just want to read their story a little bit here from verse 26 through 34 in Acts 19. It says here, moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonius, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not whether they were come together, wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So that was Alexander, but it was a situation with Paul here. And these people were so full of anger and wrath that they didn't even know, a lot of them didn't even know why they were together. They didn't even know why they were, what they were saying. They didn't know why they were crying out. But they just, caught in the spirit of the thing, was just full of anger. You know, this morning, the scriptures tell us that anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, we can let something get into us. What got into these people here was, and what caused all this and fomented all this anger, was somebody's money was at stake here. Their craft, they called it, their craft was at stake because they made images to Diana, and they made a lot of money off of this. And so when they saw that Paul was turning the hearts of so many people against this kind of thing and turning them to the one true God, and they saw that they had no respect whatsoever that it was God at work here. They just had something in their own hearts that they saw that they were losing. And that's all they could see. And you know what? That greed and that covetousness that they had in their heart and this anger that began to come from it made all this multitude, and a lot of them didn't even know what it was about, made them so full of wrath and anger until they could sit there, they could stand there and holler for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You know, if Diana was that great, I would think they wouldn't have to holler for her like that. Do you know, this morning, there's things that can fill our lives because of something that happens. You know, these people were well off. These people were doing quite well. And this was going to possibly threaten that. And then what were they going to do if all the world turns after this one true God? Well, because of that, they got angry. This morning, folks, we can get angry, can't we? Because of something. And our life can become full of wrath and hatred and anger and malice. And it's all we can think about. You know, that can happen very easily in a life. You know, different things can happen in our lives, and we can allow the enemy to begin to fill our minds with confusion. Talked about confusion here. Well, the people were confused, but you know, this morning, we can allow ourselves to begin to be full of whatever it is around us. You know that we can begin young people begin to party, and they can begin to go out and have all of this fun and all these things. And you know what? At the moment, it is fun until their life becomes full, until their mind becomes full, until every day on the job, that's all they can think about is the next party and the next high and the next all of those things. Do you know the problem with that is that it don't lead where they want to go. It don't lead where we want to go. All this wrath, all this malice, getting back, taking control, it don't lead where we want it to go, does it, this morning? And so we find, after a few years, we find lives that are empty, that are decimated, that don't have any center in them, that doesn't have any strength and values and faith and peace, and all those things get stripped out. They all get gutted, if I can say it that way. I'm just using some terminology here that we all know, I suppose. But you know, this morning, Our life can be filled with things that are so good. This is a contrast. Now I want to paint a contrast to us this morning that folks, the world around us has filled their lives and hearts with the things of this world because they love themselves. And that's where the basis of all of this is. We cannot love ourselves more than we love God. It has to be that we love God more than anything else, more than everything else, at the expense of everything else, that we love Him supremely. And Lord, I only want to hear from You. What is Your words to me? That's all I want to know. The rest, it'll have to take second seat. You know, this morning, anger rests in the bosom of fools, the Bible says. Do you know when we allow that and we allow our life to be filled with that or with the party spirits of the world? And what else do we see all around us but the loose spirits of the world? Does it lead where people want to go? With the lust of things, more money, more all the things the world today, more sports, more this, more that. And our lives and our minds are full. But I want to ask us, does that same mind then inhabit a fullness of the Spirit of God? Is the Lord full in our lives if it's full of these other things? I don't think so. Because the Lord won't share like that. And so I want to encourage us this morning to make some real strong choices that my life is going to be full of the Spirit of God. Do you know that's a choice that we make? It really is. The Lord has to do that. He's the one that has to fill our life. But it's a choice that we make to give ourselves to Him because He loves to fill our life and He will. And so I'm thinking this morning, you know, Jesus said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, these people were all concerned about washing hands. And Jesus was saying, those things in the heart, they defile the man. That's what comes spewing out. That's why all that wrath, all that anger, all those things that should not be there come out. It's because, folks, there's heart trouble. And He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Do you think people just suddenly decide to steal something? I know some people may be tempted with that as they walk by something. But you know what really happens? Somebody starts harboring something. Their heart becomes full of envy or whatever it is. And they desire something that's not theirs, and pretty soon they start stealing. It's the same way with fornication, with adultery, with evil thoughts, with wickedness. It's the same thing with false witness. People do that because it's in their heart. I want to read over here in Romans 1 and 28. Where we find, and even we find the Lord speaking of people that loved the things of this life and the things, the lust of this life. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate is rejected. It's unsound. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He did that because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so this morning, I just want to encourage all of us. I know we're here because most of us, because we want to be here. We want to retain God in our minds, the knowledge of God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled. This is what they filled their lives with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You know what? These are things people's lives get filled with, isn't it? And you know what? We see a society that I hardly have dreamed that we could see in this day yet. We see a society that is mostly filled with these kind of things all around us. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. It just seems so natural, doesn't it, to be merciful? It does to us, doesn't it? It seems so natural to listen to what someone has to say and not to be implacable, where we can't be approached, we can't be talked to, we can't reason, we can't be reasoned with. But that's the way people get filled with, and that's where it goes. Because it says, it doesn't say they chose all these things. It says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, it's not safe to decide, I don't want to retain God in my knowledge. I want my way, but I want God's way too, kind of. It's not safe to do that, is it? Because that doesn't work. God won't do that. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so, this morning, I just want to turn from that. And before we do, the scripture says, whose end? But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We want to keep those things in mind, don't we? And we want to remember that to be filled with the Lord, we really have to turn our backs on these things. We have to turn away completely and fully and reject these things. The things of the flesh life, the life of self, the life of all my desires, all my wants. And we change those to the way of the Lord. And I want to look at a contrast here in Acts 6 and 2 and start looking at something that is so different than all of that. We see where all those paths lead. They lead to destruction. They lead to hell. They lead to problems in our lives. All those things of the flesh do. And people suffer. Their children suffer. Homes suffer. A country suffers. But here in Acts 6 and 2, it says, then the 12... Now there was a murmuring, it says in verse 1, of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so they needed to have some men here that were qualified, that people could have confidence in. And listen to what they looked for. Then said the 12 unto the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Do you know this morning that just like being full of wickedness and full of wrath brings on murder and it brings on deceit and it brings on so many other things, do you know that when our life is full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, that it brings on other things too. They said here, just taking it almost for granted, seems to me, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Do you know wisdom just kind of, it just goes with the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? When we give ourselves to the Lord, He is wisdom. He is. And we have that dwelling within us. And so they chose out seven men. And verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Now we find here this man, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom, and faith, and grace, and strength, and honor. He was full of these things. This morning, I just want to think about the contrast here, folks, of what our life is like when it's full of the flesh, and what our life is like when it's full of the Holy Spirit. And so we find here, did I finish that? A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And so we see that they chose him. But I want to look a little more at Philip's life. When you look over in chapter 7 and verse 54, look at what it starts to say about Stephen. It says here, these people brought Stephen before this council, and he began to speak to them, and it was like an angel speaking to them. The Spirit of the Lord was so strong in his heart and life. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, what's that mean? They gnashed on him with their teeth. That sounds like this really degraded. Somebody was full of something. And Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. And here they were biting on it. Whatever they were doing, it seems embarrassing to even grown men doing these kind of things. But I will tell you, when we give ourselves to whatever we do, we're going to do those things. And so, but listen to what Stephen did. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. What was that coming out of Stephen? While they were biting on him, while they were throwing stones at him, and he was blessing God and praying for them. What a contrast this morning. Do you know what a peaceable life like that, full of the Holy Ghost, brings in an area, in a place? You know, when the Lord told Paul, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I wonder how many times Paul thought about this right here. When Stephen saw the heavens open and he said, I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And Stephen saw that, and he saw the glow on his face, and he saw him praying for them. I wonder if that was one of the things that all through Saul's life, again, it came back to him, pricking him. You know, there's something more to this, Paul, Saul. And so we see people like this that were full of the Holy Ghost. I believe it said he was a man full of faith, and they were choosing men full of wisdom. Do you know what the Bible says about the wisdom of God? In James 3 and 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Do you know that we can be full of things like this, the wisdom that's from above. Now, they wanted to choose out men. Choose men that's full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's what they wanted. That's what they said, it sounds like. And so we find these men full of these kind of fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. Peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. Folks, when we become full of ourselves, we're not going to be easy to be entreated many times. We may be full of anger. We may carry around in our mind all the time a heart that's continually thrashing with anger, resentment. What can I say to them to get the last thing in on this? And yet, the great contrast is that we can be peaceable, that we can pray for those that come against us on purpose, that are ugly, that are mean. And I believe the Lord wants us to have this kind of grace in our life. In Acts 11 and 22 to 24, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Do you know that if we will let the Lord fill our lives, he'll fill us with goodness. With faith. He'll fill our lives with faith. Faith comes largely many times to our obedience. It's just a natural recurrence that as we're obedient to the Lord, He's real to us. He builds our faith and our faith is strengthened. And the Lord is wanting us to have lives that are full of the grace of God. Full of faith in the Lord. Not weak. Yes, in ourselves, sometimes we see things and we fear. But you know what? That faith that God has overcomes that, doesn't it? Doesn't the scripture say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? And so, instead of filling our lives with this world, let's let our lives be full of the Holy Spirit. Let's let ourselves humble ourselves before God until he washes us with his Spirit, until I know we're washed by the blood. But you know what? He wants to cleanse our lives. He wants to fill our lives with His Spirit and bless our lives this morning. Those things are worthwhile. And here was this man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. You see how it mentions in each one of these places, not just full of the Holy Ghost, but there's things that come with it. Full of faith. Colossians 1 and 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know that we'll get in the midst of things and we'll feel the pull of the flesh. And for a moment, we might be thinking in the flesh, but I will tell you, the Spirit of the Lord will come along and He'll remind us, this isn't the way you handle this. You know, it says here that Paul said, I don't cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Folks, we are in a land today and we don't want it to be among us that we're not filled with spiritual understanding. But those things come by allowing the Spirit of the Lord to be full in our hearts and lives, to lead us, to guide us, and allow Him to teach us. The Hebrews talks about there should be a time come when you ought to be teachers, and not that one teach you those elementary things, if you say it that way. And so the Lord wants us to be filled with the knowledge of His will. I want to look over here in Acts 13. I know we're moving around an awful lot this morning in the Scriptures. But Acts 13 and 8 to 12. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Watch the contrast here. Here was Paul filled, it says, with the Holy Ghost. And said, oh, full of all subtlety. Here was a man that was full of subtlety. He was full of deceit. He was full of what he was cunning, craftiness. Thou child of the devil, full of all subtlety and all mischief. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I really believe that when the things that energize us is the Spirit of the Lord, it brings about some things. Folks, it brings about some differences in situations. And here was a man that was full of the Spirit of the Lord. I want to read another place, and maybe this will be a little more lengthy. But in Acts 4 and 13, we find some that they could have been, these disciples could have been filled with fear. They could have been filled with resentment, with anger. But let's look at the way they handled their distresses. Luke 4 and 13 to 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And if you drop on down to 18, and they called them and commanded them not to teach, not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. The things, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And it tells a little about that. Being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And it speaks a little about their prayer there. And verse 27 says, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, I will tell you what would have happened had they allowed fear to fill their hearts. They would have taken a whole different stance. They would have been praying a little and thinking a lot. But I will tell you what they did. They knew where their power came from. And they went to the Lord and they put in for it. And they told him exactly what was against them. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now these people were already filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? Sometimes the battle gets strong. And we know not what to do. Folks, we've got to go to the Lord and beseech Him about what to do until He begins to work in our hearts and lives. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This is the context of what I just want to talk to us about this morning. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to be filled in our daily lives with the Spirit of God. He wants us to meet our things, not with our mind, but with the Spirit of God. And when these people, knowing that they needed that from the Lord, did more than just try to figure it out, they came to the Lord until the Lord empowered them. And I want to encourage us today, folks, God has victory in our lives. He has power for us in our daily battles, and He wants us to win. But it's going to take something for us to humble ourselves until we get upon our lives great grace. If we simply think it through, and that's where our power comes from, I promise you we'll be off track. I promise you we'll make many mistakes. We'll err in many ways, and it'll be too late when we find out. Many times the decisions we make and the things that we do can hardly be reversed. Such as our family. We have that period of time. It's more than one day. It's many years. And we have that time. If we will live full of the Holy Spirit in our lives and not full of the things of this life, if we will live full of what God wants us to do, I will tell you there will be many places like this where we don't know what to do. But the Spirit of the Lord will come in so strongly and work in the situation. The Spirit of the Lord so many times will come in and fight our battles for us, will He not? And I know our children have a will of their own. We cannot save them. That has to be done by the Lord. But folks, we can set a good turf for it. We can set a good environment, a good place in our lives, in our marriages. Do you know the Lord wants us to have good, healthy, and strong marriages and happy homes? God wants that. He plans for that. But it comes by us realizing it's not all up here. It's in here. And when this is right, and when the Holy Spirit is filling our heart and our life and our mind and the Scriptures, do you know what that'll do? It'll direct the way that we take. It'll give us wisdom. That Holy Spirit being full in our lives will give us wisdom. It'll give us direction. It'll give us faith when all the chips are down. Everything is against us. Everything. It'll give us faith in the Lord. It'll give us grace when we need grace. And so this morning, I know we don't, any of us, have the power and strength to do what God wants us to do on our own. He never planned it to be so. He planned it to be from the very start that it would be the Spirit of God working in our lives and in our homes and in our ways. And so we find those things. You know, in Acts 9 and 36, we find a woman there. A certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Do you know what her life could have been full of? It could have been full of whatever anybody else's life is full of. It could have been full of herself. It could have been full of her own desires, her own designs. But you know, the Lord had worked in her heart, and her life was full of good deeds and full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And this lady died. And it says, then Peter, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing him the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Do you know that that the Lord worked through this? She sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You know, that's what happens when people fill their lives with good things. What a contrast it is. I just want to encourage us today, our life can be full of good things. Our heart, our mouth can speak good things. Our mouth can be full of good things. The deeds that we do, it can be full. The spirit that we have when we bump shoulders with one another, and we get in close places and we try one another. But the spirit that we have, isn't it different when it's full of the Holy Spirit and full of the good things of God? I want to encourage us. The scriptures tell us to beware lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and defile you. I will tell you, our life will not be full of good things if it's full of wrath, if it's full of bitterness. I wonder what that crowd did when they came home, and they had been crying out for 2 hours and working themselves up. And I just wonder what kind of homes those people had. I can only imagine. But I will tell you, Paul and those that kept in them a whole different spirit, what a contrast. I want that in my life. I want the Lord to give me those good things. Maybe I'll read one more in Romans 15 and 13. It says here, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. All this is done through the power of the Holy Ghost. Folks, if we want our way more than the Lord's, I promise you we will be filled with our way. But if we want the Holy Spirit more than our way, and we open our arms to God and say, Lord, I only want one thing, and that is you. I only want your will. And we do that. I will tell you, I believe we'll find that He will fill us with good things. And Paul's hope for these folks was that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That same way that those disciples, when they were tempted to be full of fear and run, because they knew they had already killed some, they knew that, and they were tempted, don't think they weren't, but you know what? They knew where their power came from. We've got to know where ours comes from too. And so he says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Folks, we're the keepers of our heart. We are the keepers of our heart. God can fill it and will. Or so can the world. So can the world fill it. So can the spirits of the world fill our hearts. And what we will have is the fruit of the spirits of the world if we do that. But I want to encourage us to be filled with all manner of good things. Isn't it lovely to be around a person that's full of good things, full of good fruits, full of the blessings of the Lord, full of peace and full of the joys of God? They break out, not just in the heart, but it reflects itself in the things they do and the manner that they have, their relationships and all those things. The Lord bless us each one today that we will be full, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of grace, full of faith. You pray for me.